All right, you can go to Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. It's right after the book of Acts. So you can go there. Get into chapter 6, and we'll get to that in just a moment. So while you're turning pages there, let's think about this. What's the difference between the baptism of the Holy Spirit and baptism into Christ? What's the difference between baptism of the Holy Spirit and baptism of Christ? Well, we're going to find out today. I see some blank looks, and that's going to be a good thing. You're going to find out something today that you probably need to know so you understand what's happening, right? Understanding the baptism. There are two baptisms. One, we don't really have much to do except that we accept the Lord as our Savior. The other, we do have something to do with. And so we're going to find out what those things are. Let's go to the Lord and ask Him to help us understand what we need to know. Father, we thank You this morning for Wes and his willingness to come forward and rededicate his life, Lord. Be baptized again. To show that his full intention is to serve You and to walk in the Spirit with You, Lord. I thank You for Wes, Lord, and I pray that You'll continue to strengthen him in his walk and use him to be an influence in his circle of friends and acquaintances, Lord, and in his family. Be with him and lift him up, Lord, for Your glory. Lord, we know that You want us to walk with You. We know that You have given Yourself so that we could walk with You. We know that You've given us the Holy Spirit so He can influence us and lead us in that walk, Lord, so that we're sure of where we're going and we can keep our eyes on You and follow the Holy Spirit and be one with You in spirit and in truth. So Lord, help us today to understand this. It's not real complicated. It's really pretty simple, but what men have done has confused it a bit. So, Lord, help us to understand, walk in the truth, serve You in truth for Your glory. That is what we seek to do, to glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in Your name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
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 The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Christ gave His life for our salvation. He paid the price. And then the Holy Spirit begins to draw us. He enlightens us to what the Lord has done for us. And He draws us to Himself. Now, you don't hear a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. You ever wondered why? Yes, He's in the Scripture. But He doesn't get a whole lot of glory, does He? Do you know why? Because He passes all that glory on to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is the one who went to the cross, obedient even unto death. And so the Holy Spirit says, yes, You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the one who sacrificed Yourself, and You deserve all the glory. So I'm here working. The Holy Spirit's working, but He's not working for His glory. He's working for the glory of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
The work of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the work of the Holy Spirit. When He places a believer into union with Christ, yes, He brings us into union with Christ and Christ's church. You become a member of the body of Christ. You are in Christ and you can serve Him fully and expect Him to lead you. The Holy Spirit's going to lead you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a truth from God given through John the Baptist. Yes, John the Baptist announced this truth. It's in Mark chapter 1 and verse 8. He said, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water, but He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit through His work on the cross. Jesus confirmed this fact when He ascended to heaven. In the book of Acts, in chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, Jesus ascended to heaven and He said as He went, wait for the promise of the Father. Well, what's the promise? The promise is the Holy Spirit, which He said, you have heard from Me. for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's when the Holy Spirit came. In the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost, they were all together. He came first to the apostles. And then when they went out and preached the word, then more became baptized in the Spirit. This promise was fulfilled on that day, the day of Pentecost. That's described in Acts chapter 2, in verse 1 through 4. And for the first time, people were permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He didn't come when you needed power. He didn't leave after your need was met. No, He stays now. Why does He do that? Because we need Him to live a life glorifying the Lord. We can't do it on our own. Don't even think about that. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to call on Him often, I should say. So, we're permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That's the day the church began. What is the church? It's the body of Christ. It's the body of Christ. And since Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one, when we become part of the body of Christ, we are in that equation as well. We're part of that. So praise God, He drew us in. Romans 10:13 says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved."
Yes, you call on the name of the Lord, He saves you. He's the one who paid the price. So call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. That's in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 says this. It's the central passage in the Bible regarding the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're talking about right now. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the first baptism. That's the first. You know when you get that baptism? Find out. You used to listen up. You'll find out. The first baptism says this, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." We take Him in, right? Notice that we all have been baptized by the Spirit. Well, who's the we all? It's not everybody in the world. It's only those who are trusting in Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the we all. We all who believe in Jesus have been baptized by the Spirit. All believers, all who've cried out to Jesus to be saved, have received the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is given to you at that moment. You don't have to call on it. You don't have to beg for it. You don't have to live a certain way and do this, that, and the other. You have to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Holy Spirit has been calling and wooing you into that relationship. And when you say yes, He comes into your life. Jesus saves you, and then you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's not a special experience for only a few. No, it's for every believer in the body of Christ. It's for all believers. This is God fulfilling His promise. He's fulfilling His promise to save us and then what? Seal us. Seal us with the Holy Spirit. That's what He's doing. Somebody said, I think it was Jim this morning we were talking about, and he said, we're going to be saved. And I said, yep, that's what the sealing of the Holy Spirit's all about. You get saved by Christ, He seals you with the Holy Spirit. You're not going to get out. You're going to go with Him, right? Hey, can you imagine somebody wanting to not be a believer in Christ after they've experienced that love and mercy? Even if you wanted to leave, you can't. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? Praise the Lord. Romans 6:1-2 gives us the what then? We've been saved, we've been sealed, what comes next? Well, Romans Romans 6, chapter 1 and 2, verse 1 and 2 gives us the answer. It says this, Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in sin? So you get saved. You get sealed by the Holy Spirit. Then what are you supposed to do? Well, it's telling you here. You can't keep living in sin. You're a new person in Christ. You've been born again. So now you need to start seeking that life. Well, where are you going to find it? Right here. Here's the manual. Tells you exactly what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And the number one thing is what? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. He is going to guide you from that point on. The problem is, we have to stay out of His way. We have to follow Him and do what He leads us to do, right? Amen. We've all been saved to do just that. God has kept His word. We have been cleansed and saved from sin, just as God promised when He said, "Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved." God is not a piker. He's not a liar. He keeps His word, and He has kept it, and we have testimony of it from the Father, the Son, and now the Holy Spirit. Have we made any commitment to God? Have we made a commitment to God? How do we know that?
In our heart.
In our heart. Is there some way we can show that we've made that commitment?
In our heart.
Just what Wes did this morning. Present yourself for baptism. Show the world that you want to walk in the Spirit and serve the Lord. That's what we can do. That's how we can show it. That's how we make our commitment solid. You can become a believer and not be baptized right away. Does baptism save you?
No,
it doesn't save you. It empowers you. It's your confession of faith that you want to serve the Lord and walk in the Spirit and follow the Spirit. That's where our power as believers lies, in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We walk with Him. We have to keep our eyes on Him, right? Nothing can keep us from doing that except us. We have to make that choice. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What did the body of Jesus do while it was in the grave for 3 days? Nothing. It did nothing. It was dead. It couldn't do anything. So it was a dead body, and it would not do anything. That's what we need to be, dead to our flesh. That's what we need. Here's where we need to switch from the baptism of the Holy Spirit to the baptism into Christ. That's what Wes just did. He's committed himself to Christ. He wants to be baptized into Jesus, to follow Jesus. And how's he going to do that? By yielding to the Holy Spirit. That's the other baptism I'm talking about. Those are the only two baptisms that Scripture talks about. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we receive when we receive Jesus Christ, and the baptism into Christ. When we make the decision that I'm going to sell out 100% and live for the Lord and follow the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. Follow the Holy Spirit. When He calls you to do something, you follow Him. He's likely to call you to do some things you might not be real comfortable with. How would you like to be feeling the call to go to Tanzania or some other country somewhere? Yeah, see, He calls people to do things. We have to be willing to follow the Holy Spirit, right? And we do this by beginning with the water baptism, baptizing ourselves into Jesus Christ. The believer committing to live their life imitating Christ, how? By walking in the Spirit, following the Holy Spirit. You might have ideas about how you're going to follow Christ and live for Him. Are you sure they're 100% correct? See, you need to commit to following the Holy Spirit. Then you will be 100% correct. Oh, well, the Holy Spirit calls you to do something. You're not sure, so what do? You pray. You pray. And you get the clearance. right? And he shows you, yes, this is the way. Walk in it, okay? So we are committing to following the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's God. Is God going to lead you in a wrong way? I don't think so. Not at all. Okay, so that's water baptism. You are imitating Christ. Was he baptized? Why did he do that? He is our example. You are going to need to follow the Holy Spirit. This is how you begin that walk. You've called on Jesus to be your Savior. You've committed to that. You're saved. And now the Holy Spirit has sealed you into salvation. Now, with the water baptism, being baptized into Christ, you're ready to walk the walk in this world. Amen?
Amen.
Going into the baptism is imitating Christ. Imitating Christ by walking in the Spirit. Going under the water is declaring the commitment, your commitment, to die to self. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives through me.
Amen.
And so I do what He, the Holy Spirit, commands me. Why? So Christ can get the glory and be lifted up. You're a living example to others about why they need the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why your walk with the Lord is so important. Going under the water is declaring the commitment to die to self. I'm going to die to myself now. I'm making that choice. I'm going to live for the Lord. Being under the water is declaring that I have died to self. I'm dead. I'm buried. I'm no longer me. I'm not in control anymore. I'm giving that control to the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Rising up out of the water is declaring that I died. Well, wait a minute. I'm still walking around. It's a spiritual death. You've decided that I'm no longer in charge. I'm giving the Lord full control, and the Holy Spirit is going to show me how to do that. He's going to be my power to live for Christ. Now, go down to, I think it's verse 3. Maybe it's verse 4, but it starts out with, "Therefore we were buried." Okay, thank you. "Therefore we were buried with Him," Jesus, "we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." That's where we get the phrase "born again." We're newborns. We're born into this new life of walking in the Spirit and trusting Jesus Christ. Trusting the Spirit to lead us in the way we should go. In reenacting the death of Christ, we died. We were buried so that, like Christ, we receive the newness of life to the glory of God by walking in that newness of life in Christ. That's how we show it. We walk in the Spirit, and we walk doing the things that would show Jesus Christ is our Lord. That's what we're following. That's what we're doing. Our old life, our old ways, our old beliefs are dead to our new life. They're dead. We can leave them behind. We're trusting in the Lord now and following the Holy Spirit. We must humble ourselves to follow Christ as He reveals the truth of salvation to us. And the Holy Spirit is going to continue to open our eyes, open our minds, open our hearts to following our Lord. We must now humble ourselves, allowing the Holy Spirit to empower us. You can't walk this walk on your own. You have to have the Holy Spirit. To put it in a more modern term, He is essential to your Christian walk. Amen?
Amen?
All right, now you've given your approval to that statement. So now it's up to you to walk in it, right? You're making that commitment. You're going to walk in the Spirit. And why are you going to do that? To glorify the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are now a walking, living, breathing example of what God Almighty can do in you and through you. That's your testimony now. You're not testifying for yourself. You're testifying for God, for Jesus. You need to live a life that exemplifies that. This is the believer's new life. It begins with that water baptism. Actually, it begins by being trusting Jesus and getting the Spirit baptism. And then you follow that with water baptism. That's the second one. A humble life of obedience to God. That's what you're saying you're going to do. It's no longer me. I'm humbling my spirit, my desires. I'm going to walk in the Spirit and follow Him. He's going to lead me to those things that will glorify the Lord. A humble life of obedience to God, dying to self, and obeying the Holy Spirit. There's where the tough part comes in. You see, you're not totally dead yet. Hello, you still have this fleshly body that's saying, are you sure you want to do that? He wants you to do what? Yes, you have to make that decision. You have to humble yourself to your old ways of life and give in to the Holy Spirit, obeying Him. You know what that's called? That's the process of sanctification, becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that our goal? To be like Christ?
Amen.
We want to show His love, His mercy, His kindness, His helpfulness. We want to show all that. We can do it if we walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
Baptism is the beginning of that process of sanctification. Or you may have gotten saved and you didn't get baptized. When you're ready and you make that choice, then you can start that process of sanctification. Until then, you're kind of just in between. Oh, you're saved. You made that commitment. But you need to make the full commitment and come to Christ and then call on the Holy Spirit to baptize you and get you ready for the sanctification process. Scripture speaks of this process of sanctification being set apart. If you say to somebody, what does sanctification mean? Well, it means being set apart. But in this case, it means believers being set apart from the world. Not imitating the world any longer, but imitating our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where we want to go. Baptism of the Spirit is first the baptism in Christ, and then sanctification begins when we get that water baptism. We make the commitment to live for Christ. Death to self. That's what that whole picture, that whole scene represents. You're dying to yourself. You're now going to live fully for Christ.
Hallelujah.
Do you think that'll set you apart from the world? Amen. Now that you're not going to follow the world, you're going to imitate Christ. Yes, I think you're going to find out it's going to. So you're going to find out you're going to be set apart from the world. It's that plus giving in to following the Holy Spirit's leading. It's not just being separate from the world. It's following the Holy Spirit. What are you going to proclaim? You're going to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for humanity, for people. Do you believe people need the Lord? Do you believe people need salvation?
Yes.
Do you believe Jesus is the one who provided that?
Yes.
Then you need to get on board and get sanctified by following the Holy Spirit, getting baptized, water baptized, and following the Holy Spirit, being a witness for Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Taking the gospel to the world. Leviticus 20 and verse 8 says, "Keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you." He sets you apart. And you accept that when you get baptized, both in the Spirit and in water baptism. That is God's command. Be sanctified. Follow me. Walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit becomes our schoolmaster. He becomes our leader and teaches us the things we know, encouraging us to be in God's Scripture religiously. You want to be religious about something? Be religious about this. It's the most beneficial thing you can do after being saved. be in the Scriptures. God teaches that obedience to His statutes is part of how we practice sanctification. How are you going to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit if you're not in His Word? You realize He's the one who brought it into existence. He spoke to those holy men of old and they wrote it down. It's not just their writing. It came from God. It came through the Holy Spirit. That's why we need it. That's why He is our schoolmaster. God teaches that obedience to His statutes is part of how we practice sanctification. It's not by shunning certain foods and shunning certain places and all that. Yeah, that's kind of a part of it. You want to be a good example and not hanging out where you shouldn't be as a believer. But the real thing is getting into God's Word, getting ready to do battle, getting ready to go out into the world and speak the gospel. Amen. What else is going to save people? That's why we were called to go and be a witness, a testimony for Jesus. Jesus prayed in John 17, in verse 17, that God would sanctify us. He said, sanctify them in the truth. What is the truth? Right here. This is it. It won't go anywhere. It'll just lay there. All right? His Word is the truth. That's what we need to be in. That's why we come to church and study the Word. And we have Bible study in the morning. We have Bible study in the evenings and during the week. And we meet together to worship God and hear His Word. Amen? It's all part of the sanctification process. You're gearing up to go out there and be different. That is what the Lord wants. Paul prayed in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that the believers would be sanctified completely and be kept blameless until Christ's coming. Blameless until Christ comes. How long has it been? About 2,000 years? Right. Well, why hasn't it happened yet? People are still getting saved and being turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing salvation. One more. That's why He's taken. He's not slack because He's a slacker. He's slack because He loves you. And He's not slack. He's just a caring, loving God. Amen? Amen. Paul's prayer, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body, that's your whole person, that's you all together, right? Your spirit, your soul, your body, be kept blameless. Why do you need to be blameless? Why do you need to be sinless? Because you don't get into God's kingdom otherwise. And there's only way to gain that. The Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in what He did for you on Calvary's cross. That's what you got to do. Trust Him. Amen? Amen. You don't do the work of getting cleansed. He does the work for you. You trust Him for that and give Him the praise and glory He deserves, right? And then you'll be blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There won't be anything that will hold you back. The enemy will not be able to say one thing about you that will keep you out, because you have been cleansed completely. You are in Christ. Amen? Amen. These passages all refer to the ongoing process of growing, maturing in the Lord. That's what we should all be doing, to be more and more and more like our Lord and Savior. That's what He wants. That's His desire for us. That's sometimes called practical sanctification. Practical, right? Well, what does that mean? It means you use what you're learning, what the Holy Spirit's teaching you from the Scripture in your daily life. You have a decision to make. Am I going to do it my way, or am I going to do it the way the Holy Spirit said to do it in His Word? How many times a day do you have to face that choice? Who knows? Countless times, right? We're confronted, bombarded, moment by things that could draw us away from the Lord. And we need to resist that. The process of the Holy Spirit setting believers apart for the purpose of maturing their faith. That's why we're in the Word. That's why we ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten us in this, illuminate our minds to understand it. Don't be afraid to ask Him. Ask Him. I don't understand this. I don't quite get this. Help me understand it. That's just a different way of saying, will you illuminate my mind and my spirit to understand this so I can walk more closely with you? See, that's our goal. That's what we want to be doing. Power comes with maturity. Power comes with maturity. Because the Lord wants you to know how to use that power. He's not just going to unleash you on the world and make a fool out of yourself. He wants glory. He doesn't want people to say, look at that fool over there. He's talking about Jesus. Well, that's only good if that fool is telling the truth in the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. The Lord wants us out there telling about Him, giving His message. We can only do that correctly if we're walking in the Spirit, Amen. Trusting in Him, following His leading. Maturity comes from walking in the Spirit. You want to grow as a believer? Get closer to the Holy Spirit. Amen. How do you get closer? You get in this Word. You got to be in the Word. It is essential. The filling of the Spirit is found many times in Scripture and always refers to an empowerment, an endowment of power to accomplish a task that you've been asked to do, guided to do, led to do by the Holy Spirit. He's not going to ask you to do something and leave you flat. He's going to walk with you and give you the power to accomplish what He's called you to do. You think the Holy Spirit called the Apostle Paul and said, good luck. I'll be here in Jerusalem. If you need something, send me a camelgram or something, you know. No. The Holy Spirit is with each and every one of us every moment from the time that we say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. Baptized by the Holy Spirit. That's when it happens. You don't have to say, Jesus, save me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit. No, it's automatic. Automatic. There's nowhere in the Scripture that it tells us to call for the Holy Spirit. What does it tell us to do? Call for Jesus. That's who brings the Holy Spirit. He's the one who brings the Holy Spirit. And so that's who we call on. Amen? The Spirit came on Mary and empowered her in the birth of the Messiah under extremely unusual circumstances. Wouldn't you agree? Totally crazy. I mean, immediately she's eliminated in everybody's mind from this is the mother of the Messiah. Didn't she have a child out of wedlock? Come on, how can that be? That's because the Holy Spirit and the Godhead wanted it that way. They had the plan. They followed the plan. Mary was part of that plan. They empowered her to do what she had to do, what she was called to do. She didn't just do that because it was her idea. No, that was God's plan. And she was empowered by the Holy Spirit to follow through on that. Amen? When Peter was arrested and brought before the council, remember, he was out preaching the gospel in Jerusalem, and the temple guards took him, brought him before the council. They said, you can't do that here. You're not allowed to speak the name of Jesus in this temple. It was his temple, right? But he can't be talked about in here. No. They arrested Peter, brought him before the council. And Acts 4:8 tells us he was filled with the Holy Spirit and declared with boldness and clarity the truth of the Messiah, Jesus. He didn't back off. I think he was out there the next day, wasn't he? No, he didn't back off. Confusion about the baptism of the Spirit, which is different from the filling of the Spirit, leads to confusion in church doctrine. Church doctrine. Oh, I might get a little technical here, so try to stay awake. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is also known as the sealing of the Spirit or the indwelling of the Spirit. That's because immediately when you call on Christ, the Holy Spirit comes, seals your salvation. Well, what does that mean to you? You're never going to be lost. You're never going to be given a ticket down there. You're always, from that point on, going up there to be with the Lord, right? Amen. That's what the sealing is. You can't stop it, even if you wanted to. And I can't see anybody wanting that. But if you did, you couldn't stop it. You're still going to be with the Lord. Amen? The sealing of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling. And that happens at salvation. For who? Who does it happen to? Who gets saved at salvation? Believers get saved at salvation. So every believer, every person that calls on the name of the Lord to be saved is immediately indwelt by the Holy Spirit and sealed for their salvation. Amen? Can you get a hold of that in your mind? It's not a casual thing. You're sealed. Scripture never commands believers to seek or pray for the spirit of the baptism. Okay, there's your homework assignment. Go look it up. Google it. Whatever you got to do. It will never tell you. Scripture never tells you to seek the Spirit baptism. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit, His number one job is to point people to Jesus. He never takes the glory. He always gives it to Jesus Christ. He is the Redeemer. The Holy Spirit is the Empowerer. That's how the system works. Jesus is our Redeemer. And we get the Holy Spirit to help us walk with the Lord. Amen? That's how it happens. We're never commanded to seek the Spirit's baptism. Ephesians 1:13 tells us, "In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed, in Him you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." That's not my word. That's God's word. That's the Holy Spirit's word. Don't take my word for it. Take it out of the Scripture. Amen. We are to seek Christ. Seek Christ. Well, wait a minute. He's already saved me. Why do I need to seek Him now? Because when you call on Christ, what happens? He says, "Holy Spirit, one of our babies has got a need down there. Help him out." I don't even know that he has to say it. I think it just happens because they're spirit connected, right? They are connected. The filling of the Spirit can happen both at and after salvation. What did I just say? Did you hear what I said? The filling, not the coming, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Are you filled with the Spirit? You can pray for that. You can pray for that. Because what are you really praying for? Obedience. Help me to be obedient to the Spirit.
Amen.
What happens when you're obedient to the Spirit? He uses more and more and more. He gives you more power to do the things. You're maturing. And so He's able to do that, right? The filling of the Spirit can happen immediately or gradually. In fact, it usually does happen gradually after we're saved. Because we're learning the Scripture, we're learning to walk with the Lord, we're fellowshipping, we're going to church, we're being active in the Word. So it's a gradual process. But the Spirit can empower you in a flash of an eye to do something. Ephesians 5:18 commands us to be filled with the Spirit. If you're a believer, you're expected to mature and follow the Holy Spirit so He can fill you to glorify Jesus. That's the whole mission. It's all about Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. It's always been about our Redeemer, our Messiah. We have to have Him. It's God's will that we be holy as He is holy. You only achieve that by walking in the Spirit, following the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 encourages us to be holy as God is holy. We become holy when we do what? Submit to the Holy Spirit. When we humble ourselves and walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit of His revealed Word. This is God's Word given to us by the Holy Spirit. How are we going to walk in the Spirit if we're not familiar with it and know it? I sometimes envy Curtis because he can pop off Scripture in a heartbeat. That's a great, great skill to have. We become holy as we submit to walking in the Spirit of the revealed Word of God. The Holy Spirit was given to indwell all believers, to lead us, to empower us, to obey by asking for that help. That began with calling on Jesus for salvation. That was the beginning of you asking for help. Keep asking Him. Not to baptize you in the Spirit, but to fill you for the service He wants to lead you in. Amen to that? The Holy Spirit was given to indwell all believers, to lead and empower us to obey the Father's will. What's the Father's will? Well, it's the same as the will of Jesus. What's Jesus' will? Go and tell. Yes, get saved and then go and tell. Go and tell about me, Jesus. Ryan, could you come up, please? Why are we talking about the Holy Spirit? Because we need Him to empower us to go and tell. That's the short point of it. We're not going to go if we don't have the Holy Spirit urging us to go. And we're not going to have the Holy Spirit urging us to go if we're not in His Word calling on Him. We need Him to motivate us to go out. I'm praying that you want to be more committed to following the Holy Spirit. That you'll commit to Him today to follow more closely so that you'll be more willing to talk to people about Jesus. Just talk to Him. Just say His name. Tell Him of His love and His mercy and His grace. Don't give them the negative part. Don't give them the, if you don't, give them that. Give them the, He loves you. He gave Himself for you. Give them that part, right? Remember this, to receive the baptism and filling of the Holy Spirit along with His power to live humbly in Christ, you must be born again. You must be born again. If you haven't called out to Jesus for salvation, you're not going to get the power of the Holy Spirit. It comes through humbling yourself to Christ and calling on Him. Then He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit, and that will be it. You don't have to be baptized again in the Holy Spirit. He's God. God can do it one time, and that's good. You can be anointed. You can ask for an anointing. That's asking for power. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit, God. He wants to do that. He wants to do it. Ask Him and then live like you want it to happen. He wants that for you too. Amen. If it's your desire, If you want to know more about being born again or more about walking in the Spirit, keep coming to church. Ask your friends who know. Call on the elders. Call on me. We'll talk to you about it. We won't think low of you.
Amen.
We'll think, that's great. Somebody wants to know.
Amen.
The Lord is working. The Holy Spirit is working. That's what we'll think. That's why we do this. So that we will testify of the Lord Jesus Christ and people will be born again. That's our goal. Amen.
Amen.
If that's your desire, when we start singing, you come up. Come up and say, I want to do that. That's what I want. Just come up and tell me. God bless. Follow the Holy Spirit right now as we begin to sing. Amen.